flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
No excuses. Make Bregman happen. We talked about it earlier. If you want a conversation, Odyssey app, Odyssey Rewind, 7:35 this morning. We got TJ Lang in studio, and we're talking football. Just not Lions football. TJ, what was this weekend like for you?
The first game kind of went how I thought it was. I mean, had a feeling Philly was going to come out on fire. You know, anytime that you're probably thinking last week, oh, man, we got to go on the road for the NFC Championship game, and then Detroit loses. That gives you some momentum and obviously, you know, a pretty good rush that you get to play at home for the NFC Championship game. So that game kind of went the way I thought it was going to. And, yeah, I heard you guys talking a little bit. Like, that was the blueprint. You know what I mean? Like, I still come out of that game against Washington in Detroit. I can't believe Jahmyr Gibbs only got 17 carries. You know what I mean? Like, I know Montgomery was back. I know you wanted to get him involved and, like, get the crowd going. But Jahmyr Gibbs had 17 carries against that defense. You know, it's just like, oh, my gosh. Like, that was the blueprint. Like, you didn't have to overthink it. You know what I mean?
14 carries.
14 carries.
Even worse.
Okay, yeah. Make myself feel even worse. Yeah, and I think it was 7 for Montgomery, right? But yeah. 14 carries. Yeah, that's what it was.
Not enough is the answer.
That was just... Yeah, getting cute and, you know, the trick plays. I mean, there's a time and place for, you know, some of them. That type of game, like, just line up and just prove that you're the better team, right? But Washington played better. I mean, you can't play a C-minus game in the playoffs and expect to just go beat anybody, right? And that's what the Lions did. And it was unfortunate. It sucked watching yesterday. But also watching yesterday, the way Philly played, like –
kind of felt like that would have been in the end of the line
maybe.
Anyway.
I mean, if you're out there, you're down your top two defensive linemen, you're down your top two corners, Meek Robertson, Carlton Davis, against that offense. I mean, if Philly obviously came in and played that way, I think we're having a
could they have stopped the run against
today.
Saquon?
Yeah, but what would I like to see it, you know, actually witness it and watch the game? Yeah, because I think the Lions offense, you know, if they were coming off a slumpy game, could have turned it around, but... And then the Buffalo game. I mean, look, I mean, there were obviously a couple calls in there that last couple weeks have been, you know, Mahomes and getting all the calls and a couple questionable ones, but you still look at that. I mean, Josh Allen had the ball down 3 with 3 minutes left. You know what I mean? And couldn't get it done. So I thought that 4th-and-1 was odd because you never got a – you didn't get a signal. They didn't make a call. They just – both referees did not make a call. And then they said, we're going to go review it. Like, you can't – You got to either say, hey, he's short, and then we're going to go review it, or it's a first down, and then we're going to go review it. You can't just not make a call and just say, We don't know. Like, well, we got to go take a look. I think you have to make a call because here's what it does. It forces one of the teams to now challenge. And it also, if you, let's say the first line judge that came in from the far side clearly had it marked as a first down. For whatever reason, he didn't mark first down. If you say first down, now you're making Kansas City challenge it. And whatever way you call it is probably going to be, you're probably not going to be able to overturn it.
Too
right?
close.
But that was just odd to me that it looked like they initially gave him the first down and then just said, oh, we don't know. Like, we're not even going to make a call. We're just going to go review. I don't think I've ever seen that before in football. I think I've usually, you see it where, hey, he's short, but we're going to take a look. Or, hey, it's a first down, but, hey, Kansas City now can challenge. That was just odd to me.
Well, and it fuels conspiracy theories, which we've been dealing with today. Speaking of things you've never seen before, had you heard of palpably unfair, the Eagles trying to punch it in the red zone? And the Commanders jumping off sides four straight times, and the ref coming in going, hey, enough's enough. We're going to award a touchdown.
Yeah.
Had you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, stop those shenanigans, or we're going to give them a touchdown.
No, he did. The ref did. We're going to turn this car around. Greg, can we play the audio for people? This was, I've never heard this before in an NFL game.
Wait till your dad gets home. I'm turning this car around. Yes, you've been advised.
Knock it off.
Yeah, you knock it off or we're going to give them a touchdown. Yes. You knock it off or there's no pizza tonight.
I somehow missed that during the game. I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
When so yeah, they
that?
Were jumping over the pile.
Yeah, they were trying to prevent the tush push.
Okay.
And it was half the distance, half the distance, half the distance. And then TJ, they just ran out of inches.
Yeah.
There's no more inches to give there.
What's the thought process there? You're just hoping they're not going to call it?
Oh, no, like you're trying to – so they're trying to stop the tush push.
Right.
So they're trying to jump the count.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They're not. They weren't intentionally just like, hey, we're going to line up and – okay,
oh, no, I'm going to touch you so that it's a penalty.
I missed a couple of the plays because I was cooking some ribs yesterday. I was in and out of the house. But I got to go back and watch
how they turn out.
They were good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I made a brisket.
So they're trying to stop the tush push.
Okay, and they were just going early.
Right, yeah. It's that theory of
four times in a row?
Yeah, so they're – well, I mean, what did it start with, too? It started with a yard away.
Yeah.
And so then it's a half yard. And then it's, you know, less than a foot. And then it's literally they could not move the ball up any closer because it kept going half the distance. And if you're sitting there going, I'm going to risk it and try and time the snap, and Philly knew it, I don't even think they were going to run a play. They literally may have just called timeout with a second left on the play clock, thinking that, you know, this is just going to keep happening.
Just let them keep
from the rest standpoint,
half the distance. There's no more half the distance.
We got to play football at some point here, boys. Either you're going to let them snap the ball, or we're just going to give them the touchdown.
I got to go back and watch.
You do.
And they were all on Luvu. They're
all Luvu.
Like four or five yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he timed it up once and actually hit it at the snap, made a big play in the backfield.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what Philly said. Okay.
Yeah.
We know what you're doing.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, that Lions lot. Yeah, gosh. Like, Rico argued, John, I want to get your perspective. Which one was more devastating, do you think? This year's loss or last year's loss?
I'll probably go to last year's loss.
Yeah, me too.
Because you were 30 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl with a 17-point lead.
Okay, thank you. I think we can all agree that, me and you can at least. Rico tried to argue with me, but that was more devastating.
That's strange. I mean, what side did Mike take? Because that would tell me which side Rico was going to take.
I think Mike just was listening to what I was saying, but I think Mike agreed
with me.
But that was my argument. Like, he's like, yeah, but nobody expected. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You have a 3-score lead in the NFC Championship.
Right.
30 minutes away. You're like, oh, my God, it's real, guys.
Yeah, you start pitching yourself. Yeah. Is this really happening?
I mean, like, this year was –
it hurts.
Obviously, it's devastating because the season that you had and the one seed and having the opportunity to have everything go through, you know, Detroit. But as a player, there's still part of you, though, that's like, man, like, we just didn't have a good game, right?
Yeah.
We just played a bad game and a team came in and played good and – we lost. It doesn't make it any easier, but that loss last year is one that I think is going to haunt them more than
way more.
This year.
Yeah, because you were literally on the doorstep.
So, close.
So I think the NFC title game will haunt you longer. But I understand in the moment feeling worse about what happened this year.
In the moment, there's a lot of losses where you'd be like, "Oh, this one hurts so much," and then you know, 2 or 3 days later, you're like, all right, it hurts that we lost, but not nearly as much as last year.
I just mean the buildup. The buildup, thinking you're going to the Super Bowl lasted for about an hour the year before. Thinking you were going to the Super Bowl lasted months this season, right? I mean, financial investment, emotional investment, going to the game, believing you're going to the Super Bowl, losing to an inferior team, not even getting a chance to host the NFC title game, wasting a 15-win season, the best in franchise history.
Who are you saying, though, for months, thinking going to the Super Bowl? Are you talking from like a fans perspective?
Fans. Yeah, fans had conditioned themselves to believe Super Bowl for a much longer amount of time than a halftime at the Super Bowl.
There's no problem having an expectation that your team should do that, but if we're going into every season and we're going to the Super Bowl no matter what, like that is, we got to take
year.
A step back.
Yes, you know what I mean? Like, that's future.
Why was it take a step back? They're in the NFC title.
No, because sometimes, Jim, and you do it too, sometimes you act like it's just so easy. Like, hey, we got the best team. Let's just go win the Super Bowl. Yay. Like, it doesn't work like that. We saw clearly this year.
Of course.
And I think that's from the player's perspective too, that last year, it felt like it got ripped out of your hands. You know what I mean? It felt like you 17-point. It felt like it got ripped out of your
hands. Right there.
And some of the plays, right? Some of the weird drops, a weird ball bouncing off a dude's face. Like, it just felt like it got ripped away from you.
A fumble.
Part of you this year is like, we didn't earn it, right? Like, that's still part of this game. We can't go out there and just expect to put the helmet on and, hey, man, we won 15 games this year and let's go, right? And start the game sloppy or, you know, try to get cute or get out of who you are. Like, there's part of you that you didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to win that
game. I don't disagree with that. I just think
when it gets ripped away from you, those are the ones that are devastating. And I'm with you. Like, the expectations are fine.
Okay.
I just think it's part of, like, oh, Super Bowl or everything's a failure. We wasted all our time. Like, I don't like that. Oh, I just don't like that mentality.
But that's upper echelon. So that's rarefied air.
And this is the argument that we had last week.
Yeah, but have the Lions earned it, that?
I think they did.
The argument we had last week is I'm willing to say that this season was a failure because I felt like they should have been in the Super Bowl. And when you get there, right, you're going to have to play the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens. That was going to be the competition. We know how they matched up with the Bills at home.
Yeah.
But to say the season was a waste, like, I can't go there.
No.
I can't say it was a waste because if we look 5 years down the road and they haven't learned from the NFC Championship that they lost in San Francisco, the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, like, what did they learn from that game? What did they learn from that season? What did you learn from this season? Even though you were 15-2, you got the one seed, you still lost in the divisional round.
Yeah.
What did you learn from this season?
Yeah.
And if you tell me 5 years down the road that you didn't use this for anything, then I can say it's a waste.
Yeah.
Right now, I can't say
There's going to be a time and place we look back.
Yeah.
Obviously, the body still feels cold, especially after watching yesterday. But there'll be a time and place that you look back. And, John, yeah, hopefully they do learn some of those lessons.
Yeah.
Right?
Look, there's a lot of emotions. I feel like we got more meat on the bone of this conversation. We got open lines. You want to jump in? What you took out of Championship Sunday? It's 97.1.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Championship weekend, we want your takeaways. That's if you watched. I know some people just couldn't bring themselves to do it. But I think it was painful either way. If the Eagles do what they did, you're going, Commanders shouldn't have been there. We should have beat those guys. We should have been there. And if the Commanders would have won, you would have said, well, damn, apparently nobody was that good in the NFC. If we don't turn the ball over five times at home, we're in the Super Bowl. Like, it was going to be painful no matter what. And to watch those Philly fans get that game at their house, celebrate with their fans, build up a 14-3 lead, committing to the ground game. Like, it just was a tough watch from a Lions fan standpoint.
It was. Yeah, it was. But it...
What could have been? How many seasons did you have that you ended with what could have been?
Yeah. Let's see. 9 out of 10. One year got it done.
Yeah.
I mean, and we had, you know, I was a part of a team that was 15-1. And all the expectations in the world. The year come after the Super Bowl, and we were 15-1, and same thing, man. Giants came into Lambeau Field and put it on us. We just made too many mistakes. We ended up getting our ass beat against the sixth seed. Went home early.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that, and that's just a stark reminder. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. You got to go play your A game. You got to play your style. You got to remember who you are, right? When Dan Campbell said after that Minnesota game, it looks like you guys remember who the F you are. Then you go against Washington, and it's like, it looks like you forgot who you are a little bit.
Right.
Right? Like, that's – and you can't do that in playoff games, man. It sucks to learn that lesson, but you got to learn it. And you got to learn that lesson. You know what I mean?
And here's the tough part.
You can't just look at it and say, we just got beat. Like, you got to take something from it.
So this team learned a hard lesson, but this team will never take the field again. And so you've got to have enough of those guys. And this team, I believe, is built to be that way because of the contracts that they redid. It's so young that a vast majority of those guys will still be a part of the team next year and even the year after that. Now, I think after that, you get down the road 3 years and things, contracts, all that stuff, you can't keep all the good players. It does start to change. But for the foreseeable future, and in the NFL, I just talk about basically next year, Goff is going to be here, Gibbs will be here, Montgomery will be here, Sewell will be here, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta, Hutch. You go down the list of guys that are going to be here that have learned that hard lesson. That's why I say in a couple of years, we could look back and say, was it a waste? Well, if they don't learn from the mistake of not taking an opponent seriously or valuing the football or whatever it is that caused them to lose this game, then certainly it was a waste because you haven't capitalized on it.
And the coaching turnover too, right?
Yeah.
The coaches that are never be the same here. Right, yeah. So that's – but you're right. You hope that you have enough guys in the locker room that can spread that message to whoever's coming in next year.
Right.
Because there's going to be a large amount of turnover.
The reason I called it a waste is because you only get so many opportunities. This individual season was wasted.
It was a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Didn't Dan Campbell warn us last year?
He did, right? And TJ, that's what I wanted to circle back to. You said something kind of that we didn't fixate on. You don't think this team should expect to win the Super Bowl? That we should have Super Bowl expectations? Is that not what
you
said?
Because I don't think they've earned it yet. You haven't. Like, you have to get to a Super Bowl before you earn the "we expect to be there," right? Of that, I'm not gonna say arrogance, but like that confidence of we need to be in the Super Bowl. That's who we are. You haven't proved that yet. You know what I mean? So is it fair, in my opinion, to put that label and expectation on? I'm not saying to not have those aspirations and think that you've got a great football team, but maybe for us on the outside to say, oh, they choked. Oh, they're not good. Oh, they were supposed to do this and we expected that. Like, you haven't proven it yet. I think you got to prove it before you have those full-blown, we better be there or else.
I don't know. I mean, John, you had talked about it. You expected them to be there all year long.
Should be, yeah.
Yeah, should be there. They'd never been there before.
Okay, I would say good enough to be there. That's what I would say.
Enough to be there. Okay, and look at the playoffs. How many teams do you think were good enough to be there? Obviously, the Eagles and the Chiefs. I think the Bills were good enough to be there. The Ravens were good enough to be there. I think the Lions were good enough to be there. I wouldn't say even. I think if you play that game a bunch of times, between the Eagles and the Commanders, I mean. I don't think that the Commanders were good enough to be a Super Bowl team.
No, me neither. They played their best game as they could, and it even took five catastrophic mistakes for that not even be, close. To still be kind of a game where you had a chance to come back and win.
So, TJ, what is the expectation for the Lions next season then? It's not to win a Super Bowl because
you
got to
get over the hump. I mean, I'm not saying that's not the expectation. I just think for us to say, that they have this whole you better win the Super Bowl or everything is just a waste like attitude. I mean, I think you're kind of in the same boat as, let's say, Baltimore, Buffalo, teams that just...
San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco's been there. I know they had a down season.
Yeah, but they didn't win it.
No, they've been to a Super Bowl. Sure. They've proven they can get there. They've proven that they can win a conference championship, right? And I know we don't want to go back too far, but they've been there. What's Shanahan been there twice?
And then Harbaugh would have been a little over 10 years ago.
That was about 10 years ago. 10 plus. Like, they've had that recency of, being a team that...
Had a seat at the table.
Fair. It's fair to have those expectations.
Yeah.
I think it's – I'm not saying it's unfair to have those expectations.
I'm not trying to tie you in knots,
I know.
TJ.
I think you just got to – you got to do it first before – you got to do it first. You know what I mean? Like, Buffalo.
I think you're
Baltimore.
Starting to feel some of my frustration on a daily basis.
No, I'm just trying to.
You're rubbing your face.
No, because I don't want it to come off like as a soft attitude, like I don't expect this team and it's not fair to have those expectations. But they, in my opinion, they haven't earned that yet.
Okay.
Because they just, they proved it.
They haven't been there.
The last couple of years, you've had great chances and you haven't gotten it done. I think you got to get it done before we can confidently say, like Kansas City, they expect to go, hey, doesn't matter what happens regular season, blah, blah, blah. Travis Kelce looks old and slow. Hey, it doesn't matter. Let's turn on the playoff time. Boom, let's go. Lions approve. They can't. They haven't done that yet, right? So that's where I think there's different tiers of expectation. You look at the Chiefs. I think it's fair to say you look at maybe even Philly because now it's going to be two out of the last 3 years, right? Yeah. Those teams have earned that expectation. At Lions, you're just – I think you're a tier below that because you've proved that you haven't gotten it done yet.
248-539-9797, talking about what you took out of Sunday's championship weekend. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Rod in Birmingham. Rod, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. When I watched that Philly game, I just saw a team that was – they knew they were better than Washington, and they played within themselves. And I felt like, you know, they were going to Barkley, et cetera. They just played their game. For us, I don't know what happened, but, like, you know, we abandoned Gibbs. I know the game was different, but when we took punches from Washington, I thought we panicked and we got outside our game on both sides of the ball. And my bigger concern, though, is, like, I don't feel like the coaching staff is really reflecting on that. I feel like they're just chalking up to too many turnovers or we didn't play our game. So I guess I do have a question. You guys talked about, like, have they learned that? Can we nominate Jim to ask Coach Campbell, that question, because that went so well last year when he asked that one question.
Oh, you want me to be like the meat shield, ask the question and deal with it?
Take him off. I tell you what. Yeah. How would you want him to ask that question? What's put that together for us so we make sure we write it down?
All right. So, do you feel like maybe in that Washington game you got away from who the F you are and tried to do too much on both sides of the ball? Philly was just confident. They knew they were the better team. They kept feeding the ball. They threw short passes, long when they needed to. I wanted to see more of like that Tampa Bay overtime game where we just played our game and just shoved it down their throat. And I just felt like in that Washington game we were being too cute. But my bigger concern is, I don't feel like they learned from that. I feel like they're just like full steam ahead. We had turnovers, bad day to bad day.
And Rod,
let's go.
And Rod, I think that may be the most frustrating part of it is you would think you got a firsthand experience playing in the NFC title game, knowing how tough playoff football is, knowing not to take playoff football for granted, knowing what it takes to finish, and then to spend all offseason with that as the focal point and you don't even win a single playoff game. Like that's why I use the word waste or failed season.
I was hoping as I was setting him up for this that he was just going to say, you know, Costa should ask Dan, do you think you're doing a good job?
Grade yourself.
Dan, you told us after the game it was your fault. You want to expound on that a little more?
Yeah.
Pick the open wound.
Yeah, give it an F for F you.
Guys, by next week, I think Costa's going to go after Dan for getting emotional.
No, I like that he shows his emotions. I do. Geezing. People are getting mad at me. They're going, Cookies trying to argue with an actual Super Bowl champion. Cookies, you got two ears, one mouth for a reason. And says, telling two former players how to think makes me cringe. I'm actually not telling either of you how to think. I was trying to get you to explain where you were at.
And we're not even talking player, you know, wise.
Yeah. No, like, you're just saying fan expectation. And your opinion.
I think we were arguing.
No, you
weren't giving me the Rico. It's this way. I'm like, okay. All right.
But you said you said I was putting too much of an expectation on them, right? You said sometimes I fall into this where I expected them to win this, right?
Yeah.
And you would rein it more in because they haven't been there yet. That's why I was asking. I wanted to know kind of why you felt that way because we had spent all year saying Super Bowl. People are buying tickets. They're the betting favorites. They're the one seed. The NFC, everything goes through Detroit. I was wrong to assume that in your mind.
I just think fans think it's easier than what it is.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think fans just think it's easier to just, hey, what are you doing?
What are you doing over there?
Shaking my mic. I think it's just too much of like an easy expect. Like,
what's going on?
We should just do that. Yeah, we should do that, right? I think we're starting to learn that it's not easy, and I think we're starting to learn what Dan Campbell said last year, that this may have been our only chance. I mean, he obviously understands how difficult it is, too. Right?
Yeah, I think if you wanted to say that I was humbled or a lot of fans were humbled or we,
or
the team needed to be humbled, look how quickly he jumps to say I needed to be humbled.
No, I said me too.
I would just, my issue is I didn't think Dan Campbell needed to be humbled. I thought we were led to believe that he was, and they were above that, beyond that. Anyway, you guys keep doing the teeter-totter thing with the microphones. These phone calls, reactions, NFC title, AFC title, what it means for the Lions. I do want to know. TJ.
No, my this one went limp. Hey, TJ, you shake it more than once. You're playing with it.
This is bigger than mine.
It's just 97.1. Want to read a bunch of ticket texts? We got open lines talking about the championship games over the weekend. We know the Super Bowl. We know the Lions aren't in it. I know. What did you take out of it if you watched it all? And I know some people just couldn't bring themselves to do it. I'm not making fun of you. This was supposed to be so much more. That game was supposed to be at Ford Field. We watched. Some of that's obligation for the job. We also love football. Just couldn't be away from it. Ticket texter says, championship Sunday sucked. It was horrible watching Washington play exactly like we played last week. And who the hell wants to watch Philly KC again? Texter says, what we learned this weekend is you need defense to win championships. When the Chiefs needed a stop, they got it. Eagles forced turnovers. The Lions' defense, due to attrition, was not good enough to win enough games to win the Super Bowl. What I learned this weekend, and cheering for the Goff haters, even with an elite QB, Josh Allen, you need a defense to win. Goff is good enough. On that ticket texture.
Yeah, defense obviously was ravished the entire season. Yeah. And you lose Amik Robertson early in that game, too.
Yeah, I mean, like in series one, you're like, what could possibly happen now? Yeah.
I get more angry this week watching the Eagles blow out the Commanders than I was last week. The game plan they had was what I imagined Detroit's would have been, Alex in Sterling Heights. Yeah, that's come up a lot today. Bully them, run the ball.
Yeah.
They got up 14-3, which is what the Lions would have been up if.
And maybe the Lions.
Without the turnover?
Yeah.
Maybe they were, you know, halftime planning on doing that because I think they did come out of half, get a stop, went up scoring.
Made it a 3-point game.
Washington scored right away again on like a long drive. Like you never could get within that one score range, it felt like.
Yeah.
To get back to that bully
with
ball,
the ball, you're saying. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, you look at that and you say, five turnovers. Don't even include the last one. I mean, you're down 14 at the end of the game, but let's take two of those away, right? That's probably a completely different game.
Yeah.
You know, even if Jared just gets sacked on the 3rd and 1 and you kick a field goal and go up 10-3, probably a different game.
Tighter.
The turnovers, you look at that turnover, that was a 27-point swing, the turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
Not only you turned it over three times, they scored 21 points off turnovers, but the other two, I mean, the 3rd and 1, you're taking a field goal off the board. That's another 3 points. Then before the half, you're at the, 20-yard line, 25-yard line when he throws the pick, the one bad throw to Jameson. Not only did they take – that's another 3 points you're taking off the board right before halftime. That's a 27-point swing. I don't care who you're playing.
Right, and it may have been a case where, okay, you can't win with five turnovers. Could you have won that game with three?
That's what
could
I'm saying.
Could you want it with two?
I mean, away.
And then all of a sudden, because the final one was kind of
irrelevant.
It was irrelevant. But if you only turn the ball over twice, and one of them can even be the pick six, if that's one of your turnovers, and you're giving up, you're spotting them 7 points. Like we saw them spot Minnesota 10 points, and it didn't matter. The offense was so dominant, and this was a game to me where the defense didn't have to be, you know, week three defense with Hutch healthy and Carlton Davis and the full complement of players. It just needed to be a team that you rolled the defense out there, but your offense should have been so explosive that it didn't matter.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think that's how all of us felt. Like, I put that game on the offense because of the turnovers, right? I have, we all have much higher expectations for that offense, knowing the personnel that defense is working with.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the second half and some of these guys, like I had to pull up like the the damn media guide to like find out who some of these guys were. You know what I mean? That just got pulled up, and it's like, oh my God, who? Like, oh boy, like, man, we're struggling. So
yeah,
I think that's fair that we all had much higher expectations for the offense, and they played a C-minus, probably to their standard, a D-level game.
Yeah.
You know, I know the yards, and hey, we still scored points, but playoff game, man, that's just a bad performance. Now, did you guys talk about it? I don't want to use this as a cop-out. John, where do you stand on when it comes to the coaching cycle and coaches being able to...
I have no problem with them interviewing.
No, but you don't like that it's just... They just don't wait until after the season?
If you have a bye week, I'm fine with it. But I was also okay with Cliff Kingsbury because they didn't have that bye week. He said, I'm not going to interview until after the season. That's where I don't like it when it's a game week and guys take interviews. But if it's a bye week where, hey, you know, you may be at home or, you know, because I don't, what's the interview take? 3-4 hours?
Probably. I don't even think it's the interviews, though. I think it's just the publicity that comes with it. I mean, all week leading up to that game was,
oh, you're losing both coordinators.
Tom Brady, he's been, Ben Johnson. No, I know that, but that was kind of the talk. I guess my point is, like, I don't see how people say that can't be a distraction. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's a major reason or anything, but
see how much of a motivator it would be if, okay, I'm interviewing for the job. Now, Ben was at a little bit of a different spot than Aaron Glenn because he'd been sought after for 2 years. Aaron Glenn, he was the hot coaching name this year. But I think if you're looking at Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn, what better for a resume than we just won a Super Bowl? And going out there and continuing to put together the highest powered offense possible.
But that still can't wait till after the season. Like, I think it's ridiculous that
you
have bad teams that are, you know, poaching and, you know, distracting like good playoff teams during what is the most important time of the year.
Right. So
I think it's ridiculous. Imagine if it was the players. Imagine if free agency started right after the regular season. And it's, oh man, Jared Goff, he's in talks with Chicago. You know, I know we got a big game coming up, but man, he's being linked here. Like, you can't possibly tell me that wouldn't be a distraction.
So for the players, yeah, but here's where the NFL needs to step in, because free agency doesn't start until around March 1st.
Yeah.
The draft isn't until April. The season's going to be over as of the night of February the 9th. There's plenty of time to just, at that point, interview your coaches, make your hires. There is nothing that Ben Johnson is doing now to get ahead for what could happen in mid-February. Am I making my point?
No, I agree with you.
So the NFL just needs to say, hey, there are no interviews until after the season. Whether I think it's a distraction or not is irrelevant, or whether you think it's a big deal or not is irrelevant. The NFL has the ability, because there is nothing happening at the end of February, or there's nothing happening at the end of January other than the season is still continuing.
Yeah.
There's no benefit of taking that job early. There's no benefit of taking a coordinator job now versus mid-February.
Yeah. I think that's something that the players are going to have to get used to, too. Like, if you're going to continue to be a good team, this is going to become normal. This was really the first year, though, where I think it potentially, even, I'm not saying a massive distraction, but even if you're spending an hour thinking about it, oh man, Ben. Because remember last year was like Ben's getting interest, right? Like,
yeah, and he took his name out of the whole Washington thing.
But he's like getting some interest. Like, he, you know, he's an up and coming name. Like, this year was like a sure thing. You're losing both guys.
Yeah.
How can you not, as a just a human being, not think about that? You
know,
I'm not saying this is the case. But if I'm putting myself in somebody's shoes and saying, man, Ben Johnson, right, like what he meant for Mike, he really turned it around, right, everything that we had, like, and I'm going to potentially lose him. How can you not think about that? I'm not saying it played a massive part in that game, but maybe the preparation leading up to the week, if you're spending any sort of time even thinking about that possibility, is that somewhat of a distraction? I think it's human nature. That's why I say it's ridiculous in the first place that this even happens while teams are gearing up.
I agree that it's ridiculous. I disagree that I think it's a huge distraction, but human nature is something where, and for Ben Johnson, all right, what was he making last year? And I don't think we actually know what the exact number is, somewhere around $2 million. Now, all of a sudden, you know you're going to be making $10 plus million. You're going to be making five times what you're making this year, next year, the year after.
Yeah. He's,
what is it, a five-year deal? So you know that that contract's guaranteed as a head coach. So you're going to be making $50 million at a minimum over the next 5 years. Just, I mean, it would, you're, it's human nature to sit there and think, what does that mean for my family? What does that mean for my kids, for their kids? Like, I mean, that's, it's all life-changing money, but it's, and to think that you're not going to have any of those thoughts creep in game week would be ridiculous. You're, it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. So that's where I just hear people say like, oh, spare me that. That's not a distraction.
But let me know this.
Like, it is a distraction.
Okay. So
I'm not saying it's a
Is that going to be any of a different distraction versus, okay, he doesn't know that that's going to happen as soon as the season's over, and he took that interview. But when the season ended, we all knew Ben Johnson was going to be offered a job.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have those thoughts whether he interviewed or not. I'm going to be making a whole bunch more money next year, and what does it mean for my family? All of those thoughts could still be there.
Yeah. And I'm not putting blame on anybody. Yeah. I'm not putting blame on Ben Johnson. I'm not putting blame on the players. But I'm saying the whole – when you look at the whole picture of the –
It's like, ridiculous.
That's what I want to know too. And it's impossible not to think about it. I went through it, and I remember a Wednesday of game week, and, oh, man, our O-line coach is, being linked to some OC jobs. Yeah. Man, I would hate to lose him. That would suck. Like, he's meant a lot for me. Even if you're thinking about that, that's taking your mind off of preparation for the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on the same page where and Bill Belichick, I think, said the same thing. Like, it's ridiculous that they just don't wait until the Super Bowl is over. You got bad teams trying to not intentionally distract good teams, but these teams are on a mission, man.
The reason
like, this is the time they need to go in the foxhole and lock in, and it's about us. Shut the doors. Don't look at anything outside. This is about us. I think it's ridiculous that the NFL allows it to happen in the first place. They don't let it happen with players. I don't think coaches should be any different.
We got another 10 minutes with TJ. We'll take some phone calls, get some of your thoughts on what Sunday meant for the Lions, how you felt as a Lions fan. Also, I know you touched on it early in the hour, but this Kansas City thing, people are uncomfortable with it. Do you think the fix was in? We'll get to that next, 97.1.
Hey, if you're looking to get stronger this year, this is your year, and the place to do it is at Planet Fitness. A dollar down, $15 a month gets you in the door, and you got to know that there's free fitness training with every single membership, and if you like what you are experiencing at Planet Fitness, you can always upgrade to the Black Card membership. You have access to over 2,600 locations nationwide. There's 50 in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo. The Black Card membership also allows you to bring a guest anytime you want, free guest privileges, and it doesn't matter where you're at. If you like variety in your workouts, Planet Fitness is also the place to go. You can feel your strongest and best self because you get a chance to use plate-loaded machines, free weights, cable tower, Smith machines, upper and lower body strength machines, treadmills, Stairmasters, recumbent bikes. They've got it all, no matter what style you like. And they also want to let you know, if you're 18 years old, you can enroll anytime. 13 to 17, got to bring mom and dad or a guardian with you. Hours, amenities, and offers vary by club. Check out planetfitness.com or stop by your local club for more information. Find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. That's Planet Fitness. If this type of behavior continues. There was one official, I can't remember if it was college or the pros, but he made the announcement about the penalty at the bottom of a pile, and he said he was giving them the business.
Giving them the business?
Yeah. I remember seeing that one.
That's just like, it's not like Washington's doing it on purpose. You know what I mean?
Like, the cost was half the distance, which at one point it was like a half an inch.
To phrase it that way, like,
yes.
If this behavior doesn't knock off. Like, Philly missed a golden opportunity. They should have gone.
Oh.
They should have gone hard count for like five more.
Oh, yeah. It
and then looked at the ref and said, this behavior's continuing.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
They missed the golden opportunity.
You have to ground him. I know there were some people who heard that and go, wait, the refs can award a touchdown? The Chiefs are unstoppable. TJ, what did you make of the way the Chiefs were officiated? Is this some big controversy? Because when we walked in today, Tom goes, this is going to be the big story today. What do you think?
I think there were the one questionable one, the fourth and one, just a weird operation. Right?
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier. I'm trying. Was there another?
So there's the Xavier Worthy simultaneous possession.
Oh, okay.
That was did like he catch it? And did the ground aid to it? I thought it was a catch. It's a tough call. It's a catch. Simultaneous possession goes to the offense. Yeah. The ball didn't juggle it loose, or the ground didn't juggle the ball loose. That's a catch.
I agree with you on that one. I think probably a fair call. But no, I felt that way right after the 4th-and-1. It was like, oh boy, like this is what people are going to be talking about. And it's a weird operation because they didn't. I've never seen a referee just not make a signal and say, hey, we're just going to go review it right away. We're not going to make a call. And then obviously when it went the other way, it was like, really? Like, you look at the side judges, both of them had their foot on the 40, which was the first down.
Well, one of them did, one of them didn't.
Right, but what changed? I think they one of them had his foot on the 40.
Right.
So if you come in and you mark it a first down, and then you say, hey, we're going to take a look at it, or Kansas City challenges it, and you look at that, none of the replays showed anything confirmative. No. So you would have to stick with the call, right? That obviously changed the game. But I do look at that, and I say, and I still go back to the fact, and I say Josh Allen had the ball with 3 minutes down three.
Thank you.
And I look at the end of that game, and the play calls that Spags made right on the fourth down, sending a corner blitz, like ballsy call. Kansas City gets the ball back instead of just running it and, hey, let's go to third and long and take our shot. No, they get aggressive, second down, boom, we're going to play action pass, first down, game over. Like, that's where the game was won, and Josh Allen had his time. Buffalo had their chance in the last 3 minutes of that game to do something about it.
That's where I actually thought that this might be a different outcome, because Kansas City scores, and I instantly look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, they just left Josh Allen 3.5 minutes. He's going to have a chance to go down and do what Patrick Mahomes has done so many times.
That's where I felt, okay, this is your time to take the Kansas City story out of it. Take the, love child. They get all the calls. You can do something about it right now. You got a chance to go win this
game. Guess who else had a chance to do something about it in 2014 in Dallas? It was Matthew Stafford. That's why I never completely bagged on the Pettigrew call. But wouldn't you love to see that Lions game play out in 2014 if they wouldn't have picked up the flag in Dallas? And that's the same what applies last night. To me, the offense always gets the benefit of the doubt. And to me, in my eyes, Allen got the first down. I thought he clearly got it. Yep. So then you have a chance.
I did too.
You have a chance to go down the field and get an 8 or even maybe a 9-point lead if you go for 2, which is the new analytical thing to do when you're up 8. It just robbed them of that. It's like Josh Allen didn't get the benefit of the call that Mahomes did. I believe if Mahomes had the exact same situation, they would award him a first down.
I just go back to a word you used. Clear. You think he clearly picked up the first down?
Yeah, just like Gene Steratore.
Well, he said by a third of a football, which to me, by definition, is anything
clear.
Is anything but clear. To me, that is in a
pile. That's just the tip.
Thank you, John.
It could be the middle. It's an oval shape, so that,
if it's on its side, the bulge. Come on now. My point is, this was not a grave injustice done against Buffalo.
Not the description of it?
The bulge of the ball.
You guys, you know what happened? They actually did mark the first down, and then Taylor Swift tased both of them.
There it is. It's one call that, by a third of a football, I know it's a game inches, it didn't decide the game. So I'm just not going to, shed a tear over it. And the people who think the league is rigged,
it didn't decide the game because there was still time left, but
I don't know. We got our number one conspiracy theorist just entered the studio.
Did it change the trajectory of that game?
Oh, no, he's leaving.
Maybe slightly. Yeah. Doug was spewing some stuff before the game.
Well, I think it changed the trajectory. But with that being said, that's where I still put myself in the position that Buffalo had a chance to do something about it, right? And that's where legacies are made, man.
Yeah.
That's where Josh Allen is going to be known for, right?
Yeah.
Being the guy that just... You had a chance.
Right.
3 minutes left.
And right now, he's the guy that's always come up short, especially against Mahomes.
Doug Karsh is a very intelligent man, a very educated man.
Yeah, leaves emotion out of most things.
Huh. Well, I guess we're about to find out.
Oh.
Yeah. About to find out if you believe that that's the case.
Can you completely leave emotion out of this and look at this just objectively?